That's what my unpredictable hair sounded like before frizzies. Sound familiar? We'll stop the crunchiness and celebrate your curls with Frizz Ease Air Dry Waves. It gives you defined, touchable waves with soft, feather-like movement. No heat required and no frizz. And that's the sound you'll hear and feel with your defined, touchable waves from Frizz Ease. Frizz Ease Air Dry Waves, only from John Frieda.
Log Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the time.
Well, hello and welcome to the 14th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high-performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, my listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into the being very best version of yourself. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their light so others may do the same. Now, I am extremely happy and excited to be introducing you to my guest today. I met her online probably about 18 months ago for the first time, and this lady has not ceased to amaze me in every single way in the last 18 months. Her name is Kylie Slavik. She's a digital marketing empath specializing in story-based campaigns and copy. In her 8 years online, she has executed some of the most successful campaigns in women's coaching and done just about everything there is to do in online marketing. Her focus is mobilizing spiritual transformation through advertising, empowering people into the greatest version of themselves, and giving them the tools to do what they are truly here to do. She brings her decades of study of both story and indigenous wisdom with Maori and Cherokee elders into all her marketing work, and she is fiercely dedicated to her clients getting great results. Welcome, Kylie, to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, me too. I'm happy to have you. So I want to delve right in because we've got so much great stuff to talk about in the show. I want to delve right in into how you got to be where you are. I want you to tell us a little bit about your story, given that you are the story alchemist, story queen. I'd just love you to share with our listeners here today just a little bit about your story and how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, that's great. I always tell people I'm an accidental digital marketer, and I really feel that way. It was never something, you know, like advertising and business and marketing. That is, if you'd asked me when I was 23, 24, I would have like fallen off my chair laughing if you told me that that's what I would be doing in my 30s. But that's exactly what I'm doing, and it really started out with a curiosity about to solve a lot of the problems that I saw from a really young age globally and locally in my community. And in high school, I really did the political involvement activist thing for a little while, and I realized this isn't for me. And I experienced that there was a lot of anger in those movements, and I just didn't want to operate from that operating system. And I started to realize, like, actually, we are – you know, we change things from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so have so much respect. I have so much respect and love for everybody who is out there, you know, protesting or working with legislatures or whatever it is that they're doing. I think that's so necessary. But what I discovered is it wasn't my job. So I started to think about, you know, how can I really learn how to shift things from the inside? And I spent the next 10 years just at the feet of some of the most profound spiritual teachers that I've ever encountered. And one in particular, her name is Franchelle Opsofsky-Weiber. She's a really epic medicine woman and astrologer and just healer. I got to meet her in New Zealand, and she became somebody that I still study with. I've been studying with her as much as possible for the last decade. And one day she told me, look, you know, you are meant to be an entrepreneur. You're meant to not trade like dollars for hours. You're meant to impact millions of people. And you basically need to get your shit together. Basically the message. You know, I was at that point in time, I had been studying spirituality and I had created a career for myself in the healing arts. I was a massage therapist. I didn't like it. It was very physically taxing. And I had to just, to get to the level I wanted to get to financially, I had to really push myself harder than I wanted to with my body. And so when she said that, I was like, huh, what could I do differently? You know, I considered myself somewhat of an entrepreneur with a healing practice, but the next day, so I was kind of mad about it, and but I respect her so much, and it's the only person in my entire life that I actually do everything she says, like never waver from her suggestions. I think online marketers are typically rebellious, but in this case, I'm like compliant. So I went to the Barnes and Noble the next day, and I'm not even kidding you, it was so weird. I'm in the bookstore, and this book, like, it almost felt like it lit up. Like it was like almost supernatural, which I don't have a lot of supernatural experiences, but it was almost like I could just feel this book. And so I walk over to it, and it was called Success Secrets of the Internet Marketing Superstars or something. It was by Mitch Meyerson, and it was this compilation of like 10 or 15 stories of just some of the gurus that we see. And this was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the real legends, the real classics. I opened it and I just never turned back. That was the first day of my online marketing career, and I never looked back. That was it. That was freedom to me, because I haven't been through a job since then, you know.
Wow. That's amazing. And before we dive more into the marketing side, I want to ask you just a little bit more about the medicine woman in New Zealand, because this is something that also lights me up. It fascinates me. I've been studying Native American wisdom teachings for probably 8+ years now as well. So what was it that drew you to that in the first place?
To her in particular?
Well, just to the whole sort of philosophy, the fascinations. What was it that drew you into that?
Sure. Yeah, well, it was interesting. I got in a car accident, and I was on a moped, and my body got hit. And so it was, like, quite an accident. And I was walking in this parking lot holding my arm, and this woman just walks up to me, and she's like, hey, can I touch your arm? And I said, okay. And she while she was touching my arm, the pain was gone. And I had been going to chiropractors and acupuncturists, and it was such an intense injury. Well, while she was touching my arm, the pain just completely disappeared. So I wanted to know more about her, and it turned out she was actually the head of the North American Sufi Healing Order, which is quite a big job.
Wow.
And yeah, and she invited me to her workshop for the weekend, and I went, and then she said, you can ask me any questions you want to, so I did, and one day I was like going through a broken heart from a relationship that didn't pan out, and she said, you can absolutely, you know, we can dive into this, but I need you to be with me, like, why don't you just come to New Zealand for a month in Australia and travel with me, and we can talk more about it, and so actually, when I was there, I was introduced to the tahuna of the Maori people, and her name is Rose Perry, and she has a longer Maori name as well. but we went to her house, which is, it was kind of a big deal. Not very many people, even in New Zealand or even Maori, end up being in her house in that experience. And Franchelle, who is the woman that I've studied with, is very dear friends with her and has trained with her and studied with her and essentially been adopted into the Maori culture and wisdom teachings and mystery schools and everything like that. So I got to meet Franchelle at an event. She was speaking, and I saw that she was speaking about flower essences, and I was like, oh great, I can take a nap during this talk. But as soon as she opened her mouth, no, I was like, good, blah, blah, boring, you know? And then as soon as she opened her mouth, I knew that this was someone I needed to listen to. And so whatever she taught, so it wasn't like I was deeply drawn into, I want to learn about indigenous teachings or I want to learn about this type of spirituality. But once it was like this destiny thing that happened for me when I was 24, 25 years old, where I'm ending up in the home of one of the most esteemed elders of a tribe of people that's very respected because they never lost their land and they never lost their culture. So it was very, very powerful, and it changed my life. And after that, I just, anything either one of them says, I'm just all over it. I'm on it.
Wow. That's incredible. What an incredible experience to have had open up for you.
It was very, it was worse the chronic neck pain that I have from that car accident.
out of everything that happens. Yeah, exactly. Gosh, that's amazing. So you've spent 10 years or so studying these teachings. What is it that most impacts you about this, about the teachings that you live and breathe daily? What is it that most impacts you?
Well, so she has a school that you can join online and you can study that way, or you can make individual appointments. And I've done a combination of both. I would say it's interesting because she uses a lot of astrology. So a lot of the wisdom that comes through her can be personalized based on kind of like you as a person, you as a soul, you as sort of having this astrological makeup. And so I have always been very, every time I speak with her, I'm always very, very surprised by what comes through for me specifically. And it's almost like she has this set of teachings, but I don't even know what they are, because when I talk to her, it's like she just directly applies whatever is coming through her to my particular situation. And so I think the biggest thing, I just talked to her last week actually, and the biggest thing for me is really about surrender and humility. So it's really about knowing that I'm not driving the car, and I can be the best driver that I can be, and I strive to be that in everyday life. I push myself really hard in every way that I can, but I'm ultimately I need to go where God or spirit is directing me. And she's very in tune with that. And I think people that haven't been ripped from their land and put into these square buildings all day long and through these educational systems and through, corporate America or corporate wherever, they haven't lost sort of their sixth sense about things. And so the wisdom teachings actually become very fluid. But I think they're very much about, surrender and really knowing who's in charge. And so my entire business has been built that way. My business could look like a roller coaster to some people. And to me, it's like, well, this is what God wants me to do today, so I'm doing it. And for me personally, if I veer even a millimeter off of what I know is being divinely sort of guided in my life, it's become torturous. It's at the point where it's just, I don't have space in my life to be even a hair out of what my directives are for the day. And I believe that a lot of them they never stop living that way. It's the Western cultures that really got out of contact with that way of life. I believe the people who have preserved the older traditions are, for the most part, still living that way. I mean, I had the Maori come to my house and come to Florida when I was living in Florida and do workshops and do body work on people. I've seen them work on probably 600 people, and And one of the guys, like, he will literally sleep outside. He in Florida, he wouldn't because the alligators and stuff and the snakes, he could feel them. He's like, oh, there's something in that lake I don't like. But for the most part, he literally, like, sleeps outside. And so they're not losing contact with what's happening on the earth. And we have, you know, really, I speak for myself as, like, a white American. We've really lost touch with that.
Gosh, that's just amazing. So... I know that a lot of people on this sort of, in this direction, in this path, we create morning practices and we tap into, as you said, you know, you're guided by what to do each day.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just share with the listeners, what does your morning practice look like? Like, how do you tap in? How do you connect with God, higher self, soul, spirit, whatever it is people like to call it? How what do you do to connect directly?
Yeah, I do meditation and prayer every morning when I wake up, and I try to tap in a couple times throughout the day with just a 5-minute meditation. But in the last couple of years, what I noticed was all the spiritual practice that I was doing was kind of like leaving my body out. So this past year, my spiritual practice has become a lot more exercise and physically focused. I always did yoga and qigong, but for my particular temperament, it wasn't the best exercise. And I ended up adding in a running practice about a year ago that totally changed my experience of my spiritual life. I was getting my best idea. It was like the one when my body moves really fast, my mind stops. And so I was getting my best insight into my business, into my life on the track. And since I moved to California, I actually hired a personal trainer. So I'm doing weight training 3 times a week in the morning at 7:30. And that is really increasing my energy level, helping me focus more, which helps the prayer, helps the direct contact, you know, the direct line to speaking with divine consciousness or, you know, whatever we want to call it. So that's been the biggest thing for me is bringing my body into all the prayer, all the meditation. I think a lot of visionaries they forget to do that because we're thinkers and we're dreamers and we're artists and poets. And, you know, sometimes we realize we have to also become marketers and entrepreneurs to get our vision into the world. And I think there's so much, like, just speaking of the energy body, there's so much going on in, like, the third eye or the crown chakra for a lot of people. And they forget to bring it all the way down. So that's been, for me, just so life-changing.
That's amazing. I mean, for me, running as well has always been my meditation. I used to say that even really before I knew what meditation was. Just go for a run, and somehow everything seemed better afterwards.
Yeah, we need to be more grounded, you know? Like, we're all super gifted and super talented, most of the people that are probably listening, but there's between sort of the people that follow a traditional path and those who don't. And I find that the people who do are very grounded, but not necessarily super inspired, right? They're like, I can go to work every day and I can do this, and that's fine with me. I'm not like getting these, you know, downloads or these, you know, I'm not like sitting in meditation and getting an entire song that wants to come through or a poem or, you know. And then those of us who are really living based on instinct or based on intuition or based on sort of art and fluidity, we're not always super grounded. You know, we can't handle routines. And, like, we can't handle things being the same all the time. So I have found that actually...
Tell me about it.
I've actually found that creating a structure in my life is super important. And then I give myself the flexibility to allow changes in that structure that... I'm a lot more grounded than I was even a year ago, which helps my business and it helps me help more people.
Wow, that's fantastic. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
My pleasure. Oh, I can talk about this kind of stuff for a year.
I know, me too. And when you talk about surrender and humility, for people who are perhaps blocked in any way, or stuck in any sort of way, how does surrender and humility help you to step into the next phase of being brilliant?
Yeah, I think it's the only way. I'll use it in a reel because I know a lot of people that are here probably did want to know about the marketing stuff too, so I'll give an example that kind of bridges both worlds. Yeah. I have a friend who is a really, really close friend of mine, and we were in a mastermind group together, and people come to me all the time for marketing strategy because that's what I'm the best at, and she said to me, what do you think I should do about XYZ? And I was like, well, I actually think you should ask God what to do. I was like, where do you think my marketing comes from? You know, and so really, if my marketing comes from my head or from like, oh, I'm such a great marketer and I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm going to come up with this strategy, you know, I can almost guarantee that that's going to flop. Like, it's not going to work. And so really, before I do anything, before I do everything, before I got on this call, before I get on a call with a client, before I do anything, I am asking for God to come in, and I'm just like, hey, look, you know, this is your ad campaign, or this is your copy, this is your email, this is your social media post, like, what do you want me to say? And so that actually, for somebody who is really smart and is really creative and is really talented, which I do own those attributes, and I know that everyone listening has that, that's really hard. Like, that's a really hard thing to do, you know, to be like, this isn't my work. This is not my strategy. This is not my client. This isn't my money. So it's like, it's really about just being, you know, and Dr. Franchelle, she had a quote online one time that said, really for her, it was being in a constant state of preparedness to do whatever is asked. And that's a lot of times I feel like what's asked of me is not what I want to do. But it ultimately brings me the most peace. So yeah, I think for really creative people, it's we love it when the inspiration just flows through and it's just like, oh yeah, this is awesome. You know, I just made this great painting but as soon as we claim it as I did this, or this is mine, or I'm so great, I think we lose most of the magic that came through in the first place.
Because it's really been channeled through from source.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is ours, you know, like seriously. No. So even to think of ads like that, it's just like, yeah, I wrote this ad copy on one level. That's true. I did, like, my brain and my, you know, I thought about it and I did research and I wrote copy, but really the way that I like to do it is to do it from a state of surrender and grace, because otherwise it's just a waste of energy and a waste of time and it doesn't make me happy. And if you go online, like, especially this is a very unusual thing to hear from a digital marketer, but if you just spend five minutes looking at ads, you can see that it's ineffective to do it from the brain, from the head. You know, people are like, it's like bad market. It's like almost offensive marketing. It's like, do you think I'm that stupid? Mm-hmm. You know, that I'm going to click on that.
Yeah.
So, I really, part of my mission is definitely to change the experience of communication of people, and advertising is probably the communication language that we are bombarded with more than anything else. And so for me to bring a level of integrity, intelligence, and grace into it feels like a really important thing to do.
Absolutely. It's just so brilliant. And I've experienced your work firsthand as well. And what I'd love to sort of segue into now is how you bring that communication about. Now, I know it's to do with storytelling, and I've learned with you a lot about the hero's journey. So perhaps we could open up that a little bit now and look into the power of storytelling, not just in marketing, but also in life. I mean, it's what we're surrounded by and what makes us keep on going to the movies and buying the novels, right?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the reason we can go in so many directions with this, so just direct me, because my brain will go on fire on this topic. But the first thing I want to say is that I love the power of story. Before I was a digital marketer, I had an English degree, and I also did performance poetry, and so I had a passion for story even before I ever thought about marketing. And so the first time somebody asked me to do Facebook ads for them, it was for a pretty high-stakes launch, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I always say yes to things that seem crazy. And I was like, of course I'll run your Facebook ads for this launch that you want to make all these millions of dollars from. And of course I have no idea what I'm doing. So I learned, you know, I took like 5 Facebook ads classes in a couple of days, and I struggled through the tech because I suck at tech. And I within 1 week, the business owner called me and she said, Kylie, like, your ad sold $30,000 over the weekend and we can't believe it. And I couldn't either. So we were like double checking to make sure that our tracking was set up properly and that it really did come from an ad and not just, you know, sometimes maybe someone already was wanting to buy and they're on an email list and they click on an ad and then it gives credit to the ad. And we were just like, but we looked into it and it was really clear that these people didn't know the brand before they saw the ad and they bought a 10 grand program just like that. And so we got super excited. We increased our budget. We were like, we were telling these amazing stories. It was like so divinely orchestrated because I was telling really long stories in my ad copy. I had seen a couple people do it and I felt like this is the way to go with advertising. And so I kind of took from their methodology and I also created my own methods. And just to give credit where credit is due, those two people were Justin Berengia and Jabril Agoro, who are just two mentors of mine. And I essentially, we went on to do a $2.5 million launch in 12 weeks in the women's coaching industry. We did what most of the guru type people told us was impossible, but the woman on the other side of the funnel, she had created these videos that were very story-based also, so it just worked synergistically together to draw people in and they wanted to be part of it. What I did after that was market research. I asked people, why did you buy? Why did you spend 10, 20, 30 grand? And they said, the story. I saw that story. I wanted to be a part of that story. I related to that story. Different variations, but it was very scientific. It was like, we bought the story. So that was it for me. I didn't need to know anything else after that.
Yeah. And I even bought into that story. I remember seeing it. So it even worked for me.
A lot of people that are in my life have shared with me that they saw those ads and that was it for them. And so I've become a student of story since then. Why did that work? How can I do it better? What else could I be doing? So that's how that all started for me.
And so what would be your sort of top couple of tips for people who, you know, for entrepreneurs out there, whether they're online or whether they've got sort of a more of a bricks and mortar business, and they want to get out there and put their, let's say, transform their advertising. So it's not so much advertising, but more telling a story. What would be your, your top couple of tips for that? Like, what are the first go-to steps to take?
Sure. I think familiarizing yourself with the hero's journey story structure is really important.
Uh-huh.
And just understanding kind of, the universal, Joseph Campbell calls it the monomyth. So it's like literally the only story that we've been telling for millions of years. So understanding, and literally I have Joseph Campbell books that are like thousands of pages of reading. So, I mean, literally you can go online and say hero's journey in marketing or hero's journey, and you just see a map of the 12 phases and you can look at it in 5 minutes and already be a better marketer. So that's like the first thing. The second thing is to really understand your audience. Where are they coming from? Who are they? What do they care about? What are they afraid of? What do they desire? What are they saying they want? You know, which is typically, I want to lose weight. I want more money. I want to find my boyfriend or my girlfriend or, you know, that's just the surface level stuff. But as a great storyteller, as a great advertiser, it's our responsibility to also find what are they really saying when they say that. Like wanting more money is usually more freedom or more experiences. Like their soul is wanting to experience something that they're not experiencing in their current situation. A relationship is usually people are wanting to experience the love that is their true nature, and that's the only way they know how to. So once you kind of understand those two things, what are they wanting on the surface and what are they wanting deeper inside? Then you start to tell stories about that stuff. And even if I said nothing more, you know that there's a lot more strategies than that. But even if I had said nothing more than that, you could already separate yourself out from 99% of the noise on or offline. And it totally worked offline because I had someone write to me last week and say they made a sale in a cab and they didn't even mean to, but they were just telling stories. And then the guy was like, hey, what do you do? And he ended up buying something from her. So that was that. I love it when people tell me that stuff. So it does work in all situations. And yeah, so it's like figuring out who your people are and what they really care about. And starting to tell stories about that thing that they care about and that they really want. Then if you want to take it a little bit further and go a little, you could write stories like that exhaustively for the rest of your life and never need to do anything else. But if you want to take it a little further, I also like to really look at objections. You know, what if someone comes to you and they want your product or service and they tell you, you know, this is more in coaching or personal transformation or spirituality, not so much like a toaster. I mean, someone goes to buy a product, they buy a product. And where you see story there is more in like, what brand is somebody loyal to, Apple or Dell? So it's kind of like, they're going to buy it. They're going to somewhere. Where is it going to be? And, but in terms of like people in the, what I call the information transformation niche, typically what will happen is, people will have an objection to your service because it's a little bit harder to describe the value, and it's something that's maybe sometimes a luxury for people, or they see it as a luxury, and it's really probably not. And so we've got to understand why are they coming to us and saying they want to make more money? Why are they coming to us and saying that they want to lose weight, but then not investing in that? It's because it's not because of us. It's not because of what we're doing isn't working. It's because they have a fear inside of them that's manifesting as a specific objection story. And a lot of times it's going to be, I don't have time, it's not the right timing, I don't have money, just all this kind of stuff. And so what we want to do is get really, really, really familiar with the objections that our people are having and start to tell stories about your life when you had that same fear and how you overcame it, or a client story where they had that objection and how they overcame it and what's happening in their life now. So those are two powerful story structures that you can use over and over again. And I find sometimes sharing client stories about that or other people's stories about that is even more powerful than first-person narrative because it brings another element of trust into it. That, you know, if we're like going, I did this and I did that, people go, yeah, well, you know, you're special or something. But if they're like, yeah, you can do it, but I can't, they immediately go there. And then if you say like, yeah, well, this person did it too, then they start to see, oh, maybe I can be a part of that story. Maybe I can do it. Maybe, you know, so it's like that a lot of times.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're going to dive right now into music. Music is one of my favorite things in the world, and it always uplifts me and inspires me, and that's why I bring or ask each of my interviewees to tell me what their most inspiring song is. So Kylie said that her most inspiring song at the moment is Adventure of a Lifetime by Coldplay. Now, I have to say, if you haven't seen the video, for this, you absolutely have to. But here's the tune. It says Adventures of a Lifetime by Coldplay, and we'll talk a little about it just afterwards. Here we go.
Thank you.
Love that.
That song gets me like super excited every time I hear it. When I'm in the morning, if I'm really tired, I just like put it on and dance around my kitchen. But you're right, the dancing monkeys make it better.
They do. Whoever is listening in has to go check this out. It's Adventures of a Lifetime with Coldplay. Go check out the video, and you can also, of course, download the song from iTunes. Kylie, tell us why you chose this song.
Yeah, I love the actual, I love his voice, like the singer of Coldplay, his voice just really gets right to my gut every time I hear him. So I actually love all their music, but that particular song is, it helps me focus on what is working in my life. I think like with the amount of media and crazy stuff going on in the world, we get a lot of sort of, this fear message and this sort of depressed, like everything's crappy message. And I actually think everything is getting so much better and we're just finding out what's really going on, you know, and everything is getting better and better. And there's more and more opportunity and people can live with freedom that we've never been able to live with before. It's unprecedented what we have in front of us right now. And So that song reminds me of like, yeah, this is really an adventure. We only have kind of this moment and what are we going to do with it? And it just has that mood of like, let's make the best of what is happening right now, regardless of where we are and what it is that's in front of us. So that's how I see that song.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. So if we have any listeners who would like to ask some questions, if you're in the States, the number to dial in is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979 if you'd like to ask Kylie a question. And if you're not in the States, feel free to send me a message on Facebook and I will get right back to you. So, Kylie, my next question delves into really what this radio show is all about, and that's being brilliant. you a few questions prior to coming on the show. I'm just going to read out one of your answers because it just, I mean, I know you and I've come to know you, should I say, and you always inspire me. And this just blew it out of the water for me. So I asked Kylie what specifically her dream and vision for her life and business is. And this was her answer. I plan to alter the course of humanity. Nonetheless, you know, I plan to alter the course of humanity through business and marketing. I dream of a world where everyone is on purpose, the current power structures are disrupted, and we live the actualization of how we were originally designed. We come together and write the new story of an empowered, awake, compassionate species living harmoniously with all of life. Wow. Can you just share a little bit? Because that's a huge vision.
It is. And I can only do so much in a day.
I know. But just having that as your guidepost, as the thing that gets you up in the morning and drives you, and I mean, it's just incredible. So
yeah.
Share a little bit about that. How do you get to that, and how do you bring that into your day-to-day life?
Mm-hmm. I think I came here with that agenda, you know, like I mean, when I was like five, I was like deconstructing the Cold War between Russia and the U.S. I was like, what's going to happen if this, you know, and I could never like understand human behavior and why do we have this vast divine inheritance and potential? If that's really true, and I believe that's true, why is this our collective shared reality? Like who is benefiting from keeping it that way? And why do we, why is 90% of the population walking around like they have no power or they have no ability to create the life and the shared reality that they really want? And it's not even a thought for most people. Every one of my friends is a marketer, entrepreneur. So like, we're always thinking about it. But I realize most people just, they accept what is, and I don't, and I never have. And so it's a lofty goal, and obviously I won't accomplish it in this life, but I do believe that all of my energy should be put in that direction. I reached a point in my probably mid-20s where I got really bored with everything. Like, I traveled, and I partied, and I studied, and I created things, and I was like, this is so boring. You know, I'm just bored. Uh-huh. I'm bored with everything that's in front of me. I'm bored with everything that people told me, you know, was what I'm here to do. And when I started putting my effort into these bigger philanthropic, humanitarian, and almost like matrix hacking goals, I got on board. I was like, this is like an impossible job. I'll never accomplish it. But what I can accomplish when that is my goal, the stuff I can accomplish makes sort of like impossible things seem really possible. Like the stuff, when we open our consciousness to that level of depth, like, oh yeah, I want to change the whole world with my marketing campaigns. Then when we open ourselves to that possibility, we definitely make space for marketing campaigns that touch millions of lives and change millions of people to come through. So I had a conversation with a guy that some of you may or may not know, Jonathan Budd, and he has a solar company, and we were talking about a lot of different things, and he said, look, Kylie, like, if the whole world doesn't switch to alternative energy in 15 years, we're basically, like, we're facing extinction, you know, like, that's the reality of it. And he said, I really believe in humanity's ability to do things at the last minute, but good Lord, we waited till the last minute. And so, you know, he was telling me that he's putting all his life energy into working on that problem, solving that problem. And I thought about that, and I'm like, you know, that's the kind of goal that I like. Like, let's get the whole world switched over to solar or Tesla energy or whatever in 15 years, even though there's trillions of dollars of opposition. And like, I'm not interested in, oh yeah, let me write this great ad or let me write this email to my list. It's like, oh no, let's totally change everything on the whole planet and rock this out in 5 minutes. That's like, for me, that's interesting. Cause I'm going like, how can we really like, is this really possible? You know, like, is this even a thing? But when I focus on what I'm super excited about,
really magical stuff happens. And when I focus on really smaller, menial things, and I go into to-do list mode, I am so bored. I don't even want to be here. I'm just like, ugh. I have to have incredibly lofty goals. And I figured, you know, I see the potential in every human that I meet. Like, I see them for who they really are, and I'm just like, wow, you can do so much, and you can be so much. And I feel like through story work specifically, it's the easiest way to cut straight through into somebody's spirit and talk to their spirit. Because their human might not, their human might go like, yeah, no, I can't do it, or I'm not good enough, or I can't do what I came here to do. But the spirit's like, oh, yeah, tell me more about that. Because, like, that, like,
let's work it out.
Let's do this, you know. So that's why they see a story like that and they go, yeah, sign me up for a 10K program. I don't care what it takes. Like, I want to be everything that I came here to be. That's what I came here to be, and that's what I want to be. And so that's like, that's amazing. What I get to do every, that's like what I get to do every day is inspire that in people through story work.
That's just incredible. So coming back to being brilliant and being and doing, what is being brilliant for you and what does it take?
I think it's like I think I said in my answer when we were talking about it earlier, it's really more about being. And we're this culture of doing. So like doing brilliant is a little bit contrived for my taste. And I go into doing all this. I live in America. I'm living in a big city in America. Like I go into doing mode and it's really soul crushing. So when I stay in being, it comes back to what I said before. It's really about surrender and trust and willingness to be guided. Yep. And then the doing comes from that space. And I really believe my best work comes from there. And I don't necessarily believe that I have any kind of capacity or talent outside of what everybody has. But it is the discipline of bringing yourself back to that state of consciousness that is being rather than doing, where all the brilliance can kind of shine through us. And like in that Coldplay song, he said, we are diamonds taking shape, he said. And that's what I feel like it is. Like the more that we allow for that process to happen, you know, a diamond starts out really opaque. And the more it takes its natural form as the diamond, more and more and more light can come through it, and then that's what makes it look brilliant. Like brilliance is also a word for radiance, and so it's like when we consistently, the Sufis call it like polishing the mirror, then just more light can come off of us, and so that's what I think that's really the only thing worth doing while we're here, personally.
I totally agree with you. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. So,
I'm like, I don't have TV and beer.
If we were to bring this down to three takeaways for the listeners from this show today, to do with being, what would your three takeaways be? Like your three top things for the people listening today, what would they be?
Somebody needs to hear your story It absolutely will make you more money in your business, but it could also save their life. And so your story is crucial, and I encourage you to tell it way more than you're doing right now, even if you think you are. The second thing is that you're here to do amazing things, and whatever is stopping you from doing that right now, let's just kind of like bring that into the light and heal it. Or if you're kind of more the warrior archetype, we can crush it out. But, you know, let's just really... I want to encourage everyone to just be everything that they came here to be, because the world needs you now to do that. There's no more time to not do that. And in terms of like more linear marketing stuff, you can never do enough market research. You can never know your audience enough. I was about to post on Facebook in my group this morning that if you don't know the kind of shampoo that your clients are using, or you don't know where they shop for groceries, then you're screwed. You don't know them. You don't know them at all. You don't know them well enough to write a copy. So market research is my jam. Like, you can never do enough market research. You can never know your audience well. You can always know them better, and you can never know them well enough. So keep
keep finding out what motivates them, you know, and you'll be an amazing marketer.
Wonderful. And it's short and sweet and to the point and so simple. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love you just to share a little bit about what you've got going on. I know you have an ongoing story mastermind. So tell us where we can reach that and anything else you've got going on.
Yeah, so I speak to people. I do story masterminds a couple times a year, and I speak to people directly about that and share it with them and see if it's a good fit for me, for the group, and for them. And so you can just actually find me on Facebook, and if it's something that excites you and you want to be a part of, you can totally do it. And what we really learn is like how to use your story, how to use your brand story, how to use your personal story to attract more clients, make more money, have more impact, and let go of complex marketing. Because people in my mastermind have literally posted on Facebook stories and sold spots into their programs without any kind of webinar video. I'm really about eliminating all the crazy tech. So, yeah, and I can do all that stuff, but it's not worth it to me. If you don't want to, just tell a story. So that's the first thing. So you can just find me on Facebook, Kylie Slavik, and write to me if that intrigues you. I do have a free story course on my website. It's an ebook and audio course where it'll start pulling little pieces of your story that you probably overlooked that people really need to hear. And so you can grab that at KylieSlavik.com. And otherwise, you know, I'm more of a copywriter than a coach these days. So, you know, if people have really big copy projects or long-term copy that they need, then I'm always interested in that, so long as the company is obviously, you know, doing something game-changing or doing something that's in alignment with everything I've said today. So you probably wouldn't be listening to this show if it wasn't, but, you know, I'm not going to sell a tire. I'm not going to.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kylie. I've really thoroughly enjoyed this. Is there anything else you would like to share? Any story you'd like to tell? Anything else you'd like to share with the audience today?
I guess I just want to say I got to tell a lot of stories today, but I guess I would just like to say that, you know, your work in the world, like if you have an inspiration to do something, then I know that you're here to do it. You're here to do it. And then, like, all the doubt creeps in, and then everybody tells you that you're crazy. So I just want to invite everyone listening, stop listening to those external voices, because I carved my own path through life. My business is very successful. My brand is very successful. And I never listened to anybody ever, except for Franchelle. I never listened to anybody. I always followed the inner voice. And it has never failed me. And so if there's a dream inside your heart that you're tucking away for later, then if you just read the newspaper, then there's plenty of opportunities for you to see that later is never going to happen. So really, if you have a dream that's tucked away in there, I want you to literally sit down with a piece of paper and start doing it right now. And that's it for me. I mean, I just really believe in everybody, and I believe in you, and I believe in everyone that's listening, and I just want to see you really – really do what you said you would do before you got here, because most of us get lost along the way. But let's pick it up a notch, guys.
It's time.
Yeah, it's time. We're late for the party.
Exactly. Amazing. Thank you so much, Kylie, and thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Kylie's top three takeaways were to do with how story is everything in marketing. You have what it takes and your work is needed now. And this is the most important time in humanity's history, and your gifts are the missing piece of the puzzle. So this was episode 14 of the Being Brilliant radio show with Amy Hackett-Jones of www.amyhackettjones.com. Kylie Slavik was my brilliant guest. You can find her at kylieslavik.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Go out there and be your brilliant selves. And until next time, ciao for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today.
Radio.
That's what my unpredictable hair sounded like before frizzies. Sound familiar? We'll stop the crunchiness and celebrate your curls with Frizz Ease Air Dry Waves. It gives you defined, touchable waves with soft, feather-light movement. No heat required and no frizz. And that's the sound you'll hear and feel with your defined, touchable waves from Frizz Ease. Frizz Ease Air Dry Waves, only from John Frieda.
Listen up, amigos. Little Caesar's Large Hot and Ready Classic is just $5 Monday through Sunday. Other pizza deals are only available Monday through Thursday. I'll smash a foldable chair over and bite them in half, son! Little Caesar's has no strings attached. Those other pizza deals make you buy two or more items, and I'll smash them up! Think I'll run out of chairs to smash? I own the chair factory and all of its subsidiaries, boy!
Get a large, hot and ready pepperoni pizza for just $5 every single day, only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.